Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my world, everyone. This is Like It or Not with Michael Lane, and Michael Lane is who I be. Love shout goes out to K-Love, Anitra Williams, Cece, Shay Pac, Dharma O'Daniels, and Eel Ray. Much love to you all. Much love to each and every one of you all out there. Thank you all for joining in for another edition of Team Lion, Like It or Not with Michael Lane, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know you're here on a special time. Thank you all to my fans from all over the world to ask me about the special time. It is different from the usual time. So I'm so glad for you all to join me. Now, let's not waste any more time. Here we are, Vixen Y. Let me tell you all something. This sexy diva is rising to the top. Now, she is like, I would say, the love child of Grace Jones and Madonna, and the antithesis of Janelle Monáe. And I'm so glad to call her my new friend. The very talented, the multi-talented, I will bring to you, each and every one of you all, the one and only, the dangerous one, Vixen. Wow.
Wow. That was one hell of an introduction. Wow, I'm honored.
Hey, you deserve that and more.
Aw. What? Ah! I finally get to hear you voice to voice. This is awesome.
This is absolutely great. I am so honored. I thank you for joining Team Lion. Thank you for talking to me. It's been a while since we've been communicating, but not voice to voice.
Yeah, no, this is so cool. I am so honored. I'm so glad to hear your voice, and I'm so honored to be invited. Like, this is really great because I have nothing but mad respect for you. I love what you're doing. You're just all over everywhere, doing so much amazing work for indie artists that it's just, I bow down to you, and I thank you for, you know, for doing what you do, or I wouldn't be doing this right now, you know, so, yeah.
Wow, thank you, I'm really touched by that, thank you, it means a lot coming from you, and there's a reason why I invited you to the show, because you're such an amazing person, as well as an artist, so I want to get both in, your artistry, as well as who you are, because you are one hell of a person.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you.
But
hope so. We'll see.
Well, guess what, you know what, Vixen? I'm going to start from the beginning. Okay?
Yeah,
and I want the whole world to know about where you're from and how was it really where you grew up, your surroundings.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm a Southern girl at heart. I was born in Washington, Georgia, a little town not too far from, I want to say Augusta, Georgia.
Okay.
Lost the family in Atlanta. I mean, I was, you know, born down there and everything. And then I left there with my grandmother. She had me in tow. My mom was already up north in Washington, D.C., so my grandmother raised me for the first maybe 4 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a very, very, very close affinity to her in terms of just kind of like the matron, motherly love.
Yes.
And then we moved up to Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. is basically where I grew up, you know, so from the Chocolate City, really.
Hey.
Yeah. So I went through elementary school there, junior high school, went to Performing Arts High School, Washington, D.C., Duke Ellington School of the Performing Arts. Dance was my first love. So I started out as a dancer, and, you know, toured with some companies, did costume design for companies. I was all in it. I was a dancer girl. I was all up in that world. But I was also mob. Go ahead.
Can you tell us about your introduction to dance? How did you become captivated in it?
Well, you know, it's so interesting because my mom, I think sometimes there's just something in your heart that just lives there. You know what I mean? Like you,
yes.
Your natural passion, your purpose, your destiny, you know, in this lifetime. And I was in junior high school, and a teacher who was luckily into the arts did a class trip for us and took us to a theater in Washington, D.C. to see Dance Theater of Harlem. And Dance Theater of Harlem was doing a kind of a lecture demonstration for schools, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I sat there in that audience and I saw them dancing, I just went, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. I want to be a dancer. You know, it was just instantaneous. So I knew that moment. I knew it in that moment. So I was very like, that's what I want to do, that's what I want to do, that's what I want to do. And then I, when I was in junior high school, I think called it middle school here, but junior high school, I had the opportunity and found out about auditions for Duke Ellington High School of the Performing Arts and wanted to audition. But my mom was like, no. And
oh,
I cried
good.
For a week. I know. I cried for a week, and she was just still, like, adamant about, no, not going to happen. But luckily, she was dating someone who convinced her that it was a good school and that she should let me audition. And I went and auditioned, and I made it. So I was there for four years, as a dance major. But, you know, when you go to a performing arts school, you're not just you somehow just aren't only involved in your particular, you know, field. You you end up doing, you know, there's a lot of kind of cross-sectioning between the different departments and things, so you end up being involved in theater. I did a lot of theater, musical theater, and dance combined together. I didn't get into, and I did do some singing in those, you know, productions and stuff, but I never thought of myself as, like, a singer. I would hide in the back and, because I would always hit bad notes and stuff. And, you know, when you have a lot of people singing, you can be kind of quiet and move your mouth and still look like you're singing. Cause
yes. I've done that.
Okay. But then from there, I danced with a few companies, did some kind of touring around. I danced with a few companies, and then eventually I started my own company. I probably started several companies, but the company that I started, one of my main babies, was a company called Onyx. And Onyx was a all-black female dance company that performed for mostly, like, queer, gay, and lesbian audiences and stuff. And so we did, like, festivals and nightclubs and, like, all kinds of events and things like that. So it was really, we were pretty badass and...
Oh, yes.
Mostly we lip synced and stuff. And so I was, you know, I was into that. And then, right after that ended in 1994, I moved to the West Coast in 1995. And that's when I kind of got more involved in theater and performance art and things like that, and burlesque. And I ran my own non-profit organization called Liquid Fire Productions for eight
years.
We're definitely going to
talk about Liquid Fire. I'm glad you touched on that. I think that is very special that you became, you know, the founder and artistic director of Liquid Fire. Now this is very special. I was touched learning about this. Can you tell the rest of the world about Liquid Fire?
Oh, man. Liquid Fire was such my baby. Like, let's just say that I, as a child coming up, I always mm-hmm. knew that I was I was very sexual as a little girl. You know, I was, I don't know how explicit I can be, but I won't be too explicit. But I,
Oh, yes. Feel free.
Like, yeah, be explicit. I basically kind of like grew up as a child, and I was always very sexual. So I always felt like, you know, I find myself like humping on things and humping on my mm-hmm. stuffed toys, or, you know, just mm-hmm. always very aroused. I didn't know what it was when I was that young. You know, I was like, I'm talking about like 2, 3, 4 years old. And so I didn't really know what that was about. And then I continued on in my life, you know, as I grew up. There was always this level of sensuality and sexuality about me as a child. And then as I grew up and grew up and grew up, I felt very, you know, excited about it. But until I got into my 20s, and then you start learning things about the world, and the world is like, that's wrong, that's no, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this, you know, whatever. So I started to feel ashamed of this inherent, you know, kind of sexual aspect of myself, of my being.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started to kind of just feel ashamed and kind of question it, and what's wrong with me, and something's wrong with me, et cetera, et cetera. But a friend, somebody had given me a book, which was called Erotique Noir, which is an anthology of black erotica by various writers and poets and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
I had that book for about 2 years, and then one day I opened it and read this piece. It was in 1994. I read this piece called The Uses of the Erotic is Power by Audre Lorde. And I read through that essay and that speech, everything just kind of, the lights went on. You know, I was like, oh my God, there ain't shit wrong with me. I'm okay. Because, you know, in the piece, she really talks about the erotic and how the erotic is a resource within each of us that we can tap into and utilize that power to motivate us along our life's path, to connect us to our truest passions and our deepest selves. And it's in our work, it's in our family, it's in our learning, it's in our, in everything that we do. It's not just about having sex or being sexual. It's so much deeper than that. And I didn't, and that's when I knew, like, oh my God, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
I have this power. And if I have it, then everybody must have it. Like, all women must have it. You know, that was my kind of motivation, and that became my driving motivation behind Liquid Fire, because I felt like, especially women of color, and then queer women of color on top of that, that we had so many things, obstacles and things that kept us from accessing that part of ourselves, because we felt so much shame around it. We felt we were exoticized and eroticized, you know, from way back when, you know, even up until today. My goal was to create a platform, initially just a show, that would help queer women of color be empowered in that sexuality and in that erotic power. And the Audre Lorde piece was kind of the inspiration and influence that helped me to shape the program for Liquid Fire. So the mission of Liquid Fire was to empower lesbian and queer women of color in their erotic power through the use of workshops and theatrical productions and, you know, things of that sort, classes and things like that. And so it was born from a show. The response was so overwhelming and so enthusiastic. And I was like, oh, my God, I felt the need to deepen the process so that women walked the process for learning power. So it started out as a show. Then it started out as a 3-month program where it's doing workshops and kind of starting out with workshops and kind of helping women to go in, tap into this power, explore it, experiment with it, play around with it, embrace it, and then revel in it and celebrate it. And that process was the process of creating theater from workshops and classes into creating actual theater, into actually hitting the stage and then performing these multidisciplinary shows with live music, original music, dance, comedy, skits, a lot of stuff happening on the stage. And the women and the people who came were empowered. It was just crazy, wonderful, amazing, and beautiful.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It was an awesome program. And it kind of went from there to a longer program into a nonprofit organization.
That's unbelievable. That's absolutely beautiful. Now, quick question. Does that tie in with Unleash Your Fire, the workshop series? Is that pretty much part of that?
Yes, exactly. Because what happened with I got burned out on Liquid Fire Productions. You know, nonprofits, you're doing 10 people's jobs, you're trying to write grants, you got to raise money. It's a big job. And and I also had people knocking at my door who weren't queer and lesbian women of color, who were like, we want some of that. We want some of that. Men, women, everybody.
Yes.
And I was like, okay. So then I created Unleash a Fire because I felt like I could at least offer the workshop, you know, and people can come and be a part of those workshops and have the experience and be empowered or gain healing or whatever it is they were looking for.
Right.
So that's how Unleash Your Fire was born, because I wanted to kind of branch out and be able to make the work accessible to other people who weren't, you know, in the demographic that I was primarily serving. So,
what an awesome. I told you all, it is more than just a hit single, Dangerous. I'm telling you, there's so much more to her. And you all are finding out, and I know your minds are blown. I know, just, oh man, this is one awesome. Vixen, why? I'm telling you. Hey, give us a call. Give us a call, man. Don't hesitate. Please, all around the world, give us a call. Area code 347-826-9357. If you want to call in, area code 347-826-9357. Team Lion, Blog Talk Radio, Vixen Noir is here. Finally. We got her. It's on. Hopefully we can do it again, right?
Oh, yeah. Anytime for you. Anytime.
No doubt. Now, we talked about the wonderful works of Liquid Fire. We talked about the wonderful works of Unleash Your Fire. We're going to talk about a caller, actually. We have a caller.
Oh.
Awesome. So let's bring them in.
Okay.
Like it or not, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm good. This is Vay. Hi, Vixen. Hi, Diva.
How
you doing?
Hi. I'm so awesome. I love you too. Aww.
No, I wanted to know, when is your single coming out, your next single?
Oh, wow, that's a really good question. So I've been kind of tossing it up, like, which one, and my goal is before the end of the year is to get that next single out and the music video, and during that time, finishing up the rest of the song so that I can release the EP early next year. That is my goal. What I have found in this independent music industry, doing it DIY world, that sometimes it doesn't work out like that if you don't have that, you know, that bankroll, or if you don't have that, you know, you just have to make it happen no matter what. And sometimes it just might take a little bit longer. But that's my goal. So.
Okay. Well, I look forward to hearing it.
Yay. I love you. Thank
Good
you
night.
For calling.
You're welcome.
Hi,
Bye.
Sweetie.
Thank you for calling. Thank you so much for calling.
Aw.
Yes, isn't that something? That was beautiful, beautiful. So now we had a wonderful caller. We talked about Liquid Fire. We talked about Unleash Your Fire. Now we're going to talk about your spoken word. You're a spoken word artist as well.
Oh, yes, I am.
I didn't know
yes,
you got down like that.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit edgy, but yes. It's not for the immature audiences.
Right. See, and I'm a rapper, and I got quite a dirty mouth, so I know exactly where you're coming
from. Right, exactly. It's like, I'm just real, you know. It's like, and so much of my work is about, you know, about sexuality and eroticism and erotic power, but in a way where that integrity is still intact. It's not very, like, you know, kind of like, I don't know, you know, I want to fuck you and I want to do some of that. It's just, it's not on that particular plane. It's still about empowering,
like me,
you know, women through it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's still about empowering people through that and saying, hey, you know, here it is. This is the real deal. But it's not about making anybody feel ashamed of themselves. It's not about, like, disempowering anyone. It's about empowering people. So.
And speaking of empowering, and telling the truth. And speaking of empowering and telling the truth, we're going to take a break because we're going to hit them off with Dangerous featuring K-Love. Is that okay?
Yeah. Bring it.
No doubt. We got the one and only Vixen Y. Let's get down. Dangerous featuring K-Love is right here. Team Lion, Like It or Not with Michael Lane on Blog Talk Radio.
Danger. As a little girl, I wanted to be a superstar. Now I'm on my way, I feel that it's not very far. I'm a sexy diva, rising to the top. Don't you dare get in my way, or I will knock you out. You will not know where you are. You will see the stars up in the clouds and see hell burning underneath. Danger.
Word up. Team Lion, Like It or Not with Michael Lane, right here. Smack Tongue Radio. Vixen. Wow, that's dangerous. Ain't that dangerous?
Oh, my God, yeah. Sometimes I listen to it and go, ooh, child.
You know,
I was
back here dancing.
Okay.
We got another call. We have
awesome.
Another call. All right, let's get it on. Like It or Not, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hello? I'm doing
Hello,
wonderful.
Okay. Hello? All right. You're on the air with Michael Lane and Vixen Noir.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Vixen. This is Ginger. Otherwise,
I knew it.
Genius soul.
Hello, Ginger.
Yes, I was calling in to give my girl a shout-out and some love. She's just one of my musical modern-day heroines, and I just want to just give her a big up, let her know how much I love her and how much I appreciate her.
Aww.
Yeah,
she's
that's
so awesome.
She's so awesome.
You know, she and I are working on some stuff together, which is great.
Yes, yes, indeedy. We're talking about Jeannie. Genius soul,
yes,
in the building. That's how we get down. We see this how Team Lion Show gets down. We know dangerous, but now we know tonight you're the one for me. Can I get some?
Oh my God! Yes. Anytime. But listen, I just want to let you know, Vixen, I love you, and you truly are a superstar. And I'm just praying all blessings upon your life and that you just continue to go forward in your vision and your artistry, and don't let anything stop you, and don't let anyone steal your joy or your thunder. You got it going on, girlfriend.
Aw, thank you so much. You're so awesome.
Oh, well.
I absolutely love you. Thank you so much. I mean, thank you, because you're definitely a Miss Genius going on.
Oh, yes.
Bless you. You're so kind. All right, love
you both
now.
I love you. Love you. I can't wait for the collab.
Okay, great. They ain't ready yet.
Okay.
Really now.
We just started.
All right, love you both now. Good night.
All right, sweetie, love you.
Now.
Good night.
Love you. Yes, that was Jeannie Genius Soul, and I tell you. She's it's going to be her turn as well sooner or later coming up on the show. Vixen, we're running out of show. We have about a little over a minute to go. Can you tell the fans where they can reach you?
Oh, wow. VixenNoir.com, baby. It's easy. VixenNoir.com. You go to my website, you can find everything there, all the links to everything, LinkedIn, Reverb Nation, SoundCloud, Twitter, Facebook, and probably some more. I'm not really sure. You can see my music video. You can subscribe to my newsletter, my website, and get a free download of Dangerous. I got T-shirts coming and happening, and if you want a physical CD, you can order that as well from me. I got shows coming up. I'm hoping to get out there and really hit it the beginning of next year, but I'll definitely be trying to do some hopping around, throughout the rest of this year, probably mostly over here on the West Coast. But my fans, a lot of my community is on the East Coast, so I'm sure I'll be hitting over there.
All right, and you keep me in tune in with shows, and I'll definitely announce them on the show.
Awesome. I love you. You are so great. I feel like we've developed an awesome relationship and rapport so far, and I look forward to continuing to do that, to build and develop it.
And same here. And I love you so much, Vixen Wah. Thank you so much for coming to this show. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Good night.
Hey, good night, Vixen Wah. Good night, everybody. Hey, tune in tomorrow night on SmackTongue.com. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be spinning some brand new music, all right? 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific. And until next time, it's your boy Michael Lane. Hey, this is how we do it. Saying peace, love, and keep doing it.